Brother Ignatius Anania Nansa, graduate of Ministerial Training School and pioneer elder from the Fort McMurray Congregation, will now consider the next part of this symposium, Future Events That Will Require Courage, the Proclamation of the Hailstone Message.
If we have good news to share with everybody, we just can't wait to tell them about it. But what if we have bad news? What might we do? Well, we might hold back, even delay in delivering it. What is needed on our part? Well, courage. Please turn to Matthew chapter 24. We are going to focus on what we know will happen after the destruction of Babylon the Great. Will we still be preaching the good news of God's kingdom? Well, Matthew 24, verse 14 answers that for us. Notice what time frame we enter into. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, after the good news has been preached in all the inhabited earth, the latter part of the verse says, and then the end will come. Yes, the long-awaited end of Satan's system will have come. There will not be any preaching of the good news of God's kingdom. Does it mean that we will remain silent at that imminent end time? No. We will proclaim another kind of message. And what is it? Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. In fact, we believe that instead of good news, Jehovah's people will proclaim a hard-hitting message of judgment, a message which no doubt will require courage. In Revelation 16, the verse 18 talks about a great earthquake that shakes mankind. And then in verse 19, Babylon, the great city, is split into three parts, completely destroyed, as we heard in the previous talk. The point, though, is what happens in verse 21. In fact, in verse 21, it likens the judgment message to great hailstones. As we read that verse, we're going to point out three reasons why we are going to need courage to preach the hailstone message. The first reason is the message itself. The beginning part of verse 21 reads, then great hailstones, each about the weight of a talent, fell from heaven on the people. Yes, the message itself is weighty, unintended. Did you notice how heavy it was? It weighed a talent. The footnote tells us that's 20 kilograms or 45 pounds. The second reason we are going to need courage is because of the response. Notice the response there in the verse. And the people blasphemed God because of the plague of hail. The word blaspheme is defined as defamatory or abusive speech directed at God or at humans. So it stands to reason that since we will be proclaiming this hailstone message or this judgment message, then we can expect to be recipients of abusive speech. Finally, notice the third reason for courage. Look at the latter part of the verse. It reads, for the plague was unusually great. You know, back on July 23rd, 2010, in Vivian, South Dakota, the largest hailstone fell. It was about 8 inches in diameter, weighed about 2 pounds, and fell at a speed of 147 miles per hour. If any of us here were present, we'll be killed instantly. Now, using that as a reference, the great hailstone that we just read about is 22 times heavier. That would make it literally 14 feet wide. And something like that will fall at a speed of 700 miles per hour. That that's a plague that is unusually great. Of course, the plague that we read about in the scripture is symbolic. But how do you feel about delivering a hailstone message heavy like that? Well, turn to Jonah chapter 3. Because we are going to have to display courage like that of Jonah when he proclaimed Jehovah's judgment message to the Ninevites. Notice what courage that Jonah displayed in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. Then Jonah entered the city, and walking a day's journey, he was proclaiming, "In just 40 days more, Nineveh will be overthrown." You know, Jonah had never visited Nineveh before. All he knew about that city was the fact that the people were wicked and were violent, a city whose wickedness has come up to Jehovah's attention. Imagine the courage that Jonah needed to proclaim Jehovah's judgment message against that wicked city. Did you notice in the reading that he walked for a day? In fact, can you imagine him walking, penetrating into that teeming metropolis, perhaps looking for a central location to stand to proclaim this heavy message against the people of Nineveh? And then he spoke out boldly and repeatedly. What a remarkable example of courage and faith, qualities that we need more than ever today. Now, it is important to point out that in Jonah's time, the people repented. But unlike the Ninevites who repented, people in our time will continue to blaspheme God in response to the hailstone message. In fact, there will be no last-minute change of heart. At that imminent time, most of humankind will continue to defy God when this great hailstone message is being preached. Yes, that's what we know from the scriptures. Now, let's focus on what we do not know. We do not yet know the details of the hailstone message. It may involve a declaration announcing that Satan's system or Satan's world is about to come to its complete end. A message like Jonah's. Will we be preaching this hailstone message in a door-to-door ministry or in a public ministry? Well, we'll have to wait and see what avenues of preaching we will use at that time. So yes, we may not have all the details concerning the hailstone message and its delivery. Yet still, we must prepare now to build up our courage in anticipation for it. The question is, how can we prepare now for this global proclamation? Please watch the following dramatization.
Do you recall a little over 10 years ago, we had the Kingdom News campaign, "The End of False Religion is Near." During our shepherding visit with Sherry Spencer, she admitted that something happened to her during that campaign.
As a public service, I'm sharing in an earthwide distribution of this important message. That's your free copy.
Hey! What's this about? Are you trying to tell me that my religion is false and yours is true? Get off my property! If you come back again, I'm gonna set my dog on you! Nobody wants you here!
Sister Spencer said that experience stayed with her. To this day, she finds it very difficult to be in the ministry.
Brothers, I feel like after all these years, if I can't get over this fear, I may not make it when times get harder.
Sister Spencer, you may be surprised to know that most of us get nervous when talking at the doors. I know that I do.
You're just trying to make me feel better.
No, I'm saying it because it's true.
Being courageous doesn't mean we won't get nervous. Sometimes being courageous means taking action even though we are nervous.
Thanks, that is encouraging.
Here's a suggestion that may help. We've discussed Psalm 27 and verse 14. Based on that scripture, the next time you're about to face a situation that calls for courage, whether it be in the ministry or otherwise, tell yourself you just need to do these three things. Pray, hope in Jehovah, and act. You got it? Pray, hope in Jehovah, and act.
Wait, I'm going to write that down.
Excellent. Helping the friends address their fears, it's really going to help when our message changes from good news to judgment. So, Peter, let's hear from you next.
Did you notice in the video how to develop courage now to proclaim the Hillsong message? As they considered Psalms 27, verse 14, the formula is pray, hope in Jehovah, and act. What are some ways we can build courage in harmony with that formula? Well, one way is to meditate on Bible examples of courage. We consider the example of Jonah, but let's consider the example of Peter and John, first century Christians. Please turn to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been arrested preaching the good news. They are put in jail the whole night, then put on trial the next day, then released and are told, "Stop your preaching." Well, notice how they applied the formula. Please look at the beginning part of verse 24. On hearing this, they raised their voices with one accord to God and said. So, what was the initial reaction? Well, they start to pray. What next? Notice how they expressed their hope in Jehovah in verse 29. And now, Jehovah, give attention to their threats and grant your slaves to keep speaking your word with all boldness. What a conviction they had in Jehovah. Based on that conviction, finally, what do they do? Well, verse 31. And when they had made supplication, or the footnote says, had prayed earnestly, the place where they were guarded together was shaken, and they were one and all filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's their action they took. And were speaking the word of God with boldness. Can you see how meditating on Bible examples of courage like these can build our courage to deliver the Hillsong message? Another way that we can build courage now is to reflect on our own life where Jehovah has shown us courage. In fact, at Psalms 27, the passage where this formula was derived, when you look at the context, David was actually reflecting on his own life where Jehovah has shown him courage. Can you recall the first time when you went door to door, the courage Jehovah gave you to knock on that door or to ring the doorbell? You probably stood there and didn't say anything. You just smiled. But Jehovah gave you that courage to knock on that door. In our ministry today, there are so many avenues open to us. Are we still nervous in some specific aspect of our ministry? We saw Sister Spencer and the elder in the video. They said they still have nerves in the door-to-door ministry. Friends, that's normal. That is normal. You remember what the other elder said in the video? He said, being courageous doesn't mean we wouldn't get nervous. Sometimes being courageous means taking actions even though we are nervous. So what actions can we take today to build up our courage? Number one, share fully in the preaching work now by diligently searching your congregation's territory for deserving ones, even where many do not find it appealing or respond favorably. Number two, if your circumstances allow, zealously participate in special preaching campaigns, such as the memorial campaign, or distribution campaigns of Kingdom News tracts, or even special campaigns that are organized in foreign lands. Remember, friends, the proclamation of the Hailstone message is one of the future events that will require courage. Whether people listen or not, we can be certain of Jehovah's assurance to Ezekiel at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5, where Jehovah said, "As for them, whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will certainly know that a prophet was among them." Yes, what a privilege you and I have to act as Jehovah's prophets, to have to proclaim Jehovah's message both now and in the future.